Good afternoon, my friends out there. It is August the 26th, 2023. You know, after 5 p.m., right? I think the exact time is almost 5:30 p.m., Saturday. And we're still here, you know, podcasting in the park. This particular podcast, I don't have an outline. I don't really care. If you're looking for care and concern, check at the complaint station. It's about a half a mile away. Check at the complaint station. File your complaint. Yes, go to that complaint station. Talk to a fellow by the name of Horace McDilson. Tell Horace you're really upset about stuff and other things that have happened. You really think somebody should do something. Horace will pull out a notebook. He'll ask you some questions about your life, where it went right, where it went wrong. Horace will take down your name. He'll take your phone number. He'll take your email address. Yeah, so go to the complaints department, I'd say, and talk to Horace. And he'll make sure that your issue is well known of during coffee break as he makes fun of you to his other helper-type friends at the complaint station. They know that they're really just a big dumping ground. They know that whatever gets tossed in their door goes nowhere. The only purpose of the complaint station is to mock the complainers, to make fun of them for being so upset that life isn't perfect. Complainers, not happy, not even content, not even sad, they're just there, disgruntled, with messy hair usually, right? The complainers, baby. Yeah, so just sitting here at the park. And I'm considering my next steps. It's hard for me right now to come up with any good plan. I had somebody email me asking me, why did I go back to Washington State? Because the two plans on my table 2 weeks ago were drive a truck a few hundred miles without a license, and you haven't driven much in 6 years, you know. And again, I could have done that. It wasn't impossible. It's just that I'd had a few run-ins with cops the weeks before, and I had a horrible panicky vision going down the highway, get pulled over. Yeah. The other option was to basically go with my brother, who was heading back from Maine. And he had been living out of his truck doing work in Maine, and that work stopped, and so he was heading back to Washington State. There was really not a third option. You could say I could have just hit the road from where I was in Utah, and that's an argument, but not a very good one. So if you're wondering why I'm back here, it's not so much that I want to be back here, it's just that the other options weren't very good. You know? I have a situation in Utah that could happen, maybe, but the problem is that it's just probably not going to happen. for different reasons. I have a couple other friends out there who've mentioned possibilities, but you know, everybody's kind of treading water right now. And it's not like my podcast is really a going concern. And as far as my professional life goes, I could probably go out and get my resume straight and do a bunch of code monkey jobs and maybe live an unhappy life in a tiny little pod apartment someplace on the corner of, you know, Scrimpton and who knows where. And I could do that. Maybe. It really depends. I could also hit the road with a backpack and disappear. And when you think about what we've been talking about, thinking about, having conversations about, what we've been observant of, if you've been listening to me since Indianapolis, you've been listening a while. But if you think about those subjects, they revolve around situations that are far less than optimal. And it would be convenient, I think, to play pretend and to assume that everything that has happened will continue to happen. And believe me, that's the broken record mentality of much of this country right now. Well, Dan, you know, Tina, there is no alternative. You can't fight the Fed. Well, that's true, I think. But I don't think that particularly means that the Fed can't, you know, can fight reality. I mean, basically, you can say something like, don't fight the Fed, but what do you say when the Fed is facing reality? What do you say when the Federal Reserve, specifically Jerome Powell, looks like somebody chasing a tiger, inflation, while being chased by a bear, deflation? If he turns to take on the bear, the tiger kills him. If he really does subdue the tiger, which implies that he stops moving, the bear will take him out. This is the situation. He knows this. I mean, you can tell by looking at his dark little sunken rat eyes. You can tell he knows this. He knows there's no escape. I mean, for him, there is. He's got a helicopter. It's nicknamed, as I've said, the Soft Landing, which will take him to a ship, you know, labeled, I don't know. Yeah, labeled Reflation, maybe. And then that ship will take him to a condo complex in Antarctica where he'll hang out at a bar with his old friends, some of whom, you know, supposedly died. And the name of the bar is The Reset. That's what I see. And I got to reposition here a bit because I'm trying to do this Indian style and I'm like 53 years old. Doing it in a tent, doing it Indian style, Native American style, right? We'll see if this works. We'll see if it works, right? No, if you listen to my podcast, you understand I don't see any soft landing, if you want to think of this in economic terms. I believe, I cannot fully prove, because most of the data we get is crap, so it's hard to take Fred data or BLS data and have an intelligent conversation. But I believe if there was an intelligent, honest appraisal of the world economy since, like, let's say 2008, I think we've been in a global depression, and it's been papered over. And there's been a lot of paper. And it's not just the COVID. It's not just the last couple years. The COVID was another excuse, best case scenario, for printing a bunch of money. But as far as the banking system goes, that thing was falling apart in the summer of 2019, long before the monkey herpes COVID showed up. So you might want to say, well, Dan, it was the virus and it happened and, you know, fine. If you need to believe in fantasies, that's your option. What I will tell you is the U.S. banking system was overheating, having issues, specifically in the repo market in the summer of 2019. That was before the COVID showed up. So the best way you can look at this whole thing so far is they're trying to manage what is really looking like total economic collapse. Not a soft landing, not a recession, not a depression. Any of these words are meant to make you feel better, believe it or not. They are lesser catastrophes. You know, these things, they end in a decade, right? Worst case, right? But what we're facing is likely a multi-decade economic catastrophe, and that's best case scenario. That's if you're just thinking about James Howard Kunstler and peak oil and peak debt. That's if you're just thinking about the economics. But I kind of think there's more than economics going on right now. And you know that too from listening to my podcast. And I can't tell you what it is. Do I think there's an economic component? Absolutely. Do I think there's going to be a reset where everybody's ruled over by a minority? We've had that. This is the issue I have with the reset, and I know I have to bring it up, but every time people describe to me all the crooked power that these folks will supposedly have if there's a reset, it sounds like all the power they needed to turn off the world in 2020, which frankly put their power at risk. So nothing of what they're doing makes sense if this is the reset. You wouldn't do the monkey herpes. You wouldn't do the race war. You wouldn't do the ongoing trauma drama type mind control nonsense. You do pyramids on Mars, as I was telling people in 2020. You'd give people optimistic nonsense. You'd say, listen, we found pyramids on Mars. And there were aliens. They were asleep inside and we woke them up. And you know what? They had a cup of coffee and they felt better. And they decided to give us all the space technology of the future. Everything's going to be great now that we have our friendly, unfrozen aliens. Yeah, that kind of nonsense. Not the trauma nonsense, but that kind of optimistic, hopey-changey, everything's going to be okay, kumbaya kind of nonsense. That's what they would have done if it was going to be the reset. Now, if we're talking about eschatology, which I know I brought up, so I'm just going to throw it out there again. If we're talking about questions of how things end, specifically in terms of the Christian epic, then yeah, a person could reasonably look at the world right now, in my opinion, and come to the conclusion that we are on the eve of that period of time that Christ talked about. That Christ talked about, that his apostles spoke about, that the prophets of the Old Testament, like Daniel and Isaiah and others, spoke about. You know, we could be there. It's possible. What does that mean? Well, some Christians believe in the rapture, and I feel like that's not a salvation critical issue. If you believe in it, then it means at some point in the future, perhaps not the distant future, you'll be walking down the street. You'll see a pile of clothes. You'll see one here and there. You'll see them everywhere. People gone all at once. The newspapers, they tell you it's aliens. The radio says it's Nazis that live in Antarctica. They have a saucer. They sucked us up. Yeah, you know, I gotta reposition myself again, guys. If I don't, I get the scrombliosis. Yeah, great. You're going to get scrombliosis, Dan. I know. I'm kind of hoping for it, been praying for it. Something's got to give. Something's got to do it. Maybe the scrombliosis. So it could be that. It could be the Christian epic. And we've discussed that. So this is a well-worn shoe that we've gone over. It could be something else. I mean, the thing about life on this particular planet is it feels like it's always supposed to be kind of stable and kind of okay, but that's not reality either. Life is crazy. Sometimes it's not crazy where you live, not much happens, but there are places where stuff happens. Life is crazy. It can be the weather, it can be geology, it can be politics. It turns out that the nicer your piece of property, the more you invite war. You know, whether it's a nice piece of property in terms of water and land, or if it's oil or gold or lithium, you invite conflict. Life's not guaranteed, ever. If you want to look at this purely in natural terms, in terms of the history of life on planet Earth, you know, there have been major extinctions, several. There have been minor extinctions, many, many more. And yet, life keeps rolling along. Does that mean it was probably crazy to live during an extinction? Well, probably. And if there were creatures that attained a certain level of consciousness, maybe even technology, they might have pondered the issue of, how could this happen to me? Why me? Life is abrupt. If you want to just think of this in terms of the squishies, if you want to think of this simply in terms of life absent God, you know, sometime, maybe it was 200 million years ago, maybe it was 300 million years ago, you can study it. At some point, there was a creature, it looked like a salamander, it kind of looked like a fish. It got to the edge of the great sea. It looked at the ground, and this is what it found. Yes, a long time ago, there was a creature, a salamander-type lizard thingy, and it made it to the edge of the shore from the sea, and it decided to come on land. And it wasn't sure why, really. It was just something new to do, right? But that had to be crazy. I mean, of course, consciousness was probably not a factor. But some kind of intelligence was going on, and some kind of sense, maybe, perhaps, in the most primitive way imaginable, if you can imagine it, somehow that creature might have had a spooky sense that those steps were maybe not technically the first that day, because there would have been others, male and female, various groups, but maybe had a sense that life was about to go crazy. That you were going to get on the land, and boy, look what you'd do. And that is it, right? Like, if we're trying to talk about this, and I got to massage my foot a little, because again, doing this Indian style, yeah, it's not really great, but it's not impossible. I don't know. I'm going to look at the time on this thing. What's the time, Dan? Oh, it's plenty of time. Plenty of time. Isn't that nice, Dan, that you got plenty of time? Yo, sure, sure it is. It's really plenty of time, plenty of time. Yeah, what the hell was that, man? That was crappy harmonica playing, because my legs are falling asleep. Yeah. So life's always been crazy, whether you're some creature deciding to crawl out of the muck so you can buy a truck and one day do other things that rhyme with it, but you know, those thoughts weren't a thing, were they, 200 or 300 million years ago? If you want to think of this purely in terms of nature, and human beings being what they are, then I think a reasonable person could come to the conclusion that there are some things going on. And many of these things we're not being told the truth about, to include whatever climate change is. I for one, don't believe we're being told the truth, A, and B, that doesn't mean I think that there are people you listen to that are telling you the truth. I think everyone is lying. If you say, well, I'm a Republican and I listen to Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck says there's anarchists in the Arctic Circle setting, yeah, that would be convenient. Except for these fires, you know, burn year round now. They just calm down a bit in the winter. So yeah, that it doesn't require anybody with a big lighter. These are fires that are peat fires. These are fires that are actually being partially fueled by organic material that's been buried in ice for thousands and thousands of years until recently. So you don't need any anarchists or communists or George Soros. I got some information from a friend of mine, and he's a good dude. You know, I don't know him yet in person, but I've spoken to him on the phone, and that's all I'll say about my friend. And he sent me some information about stuff going on in British Columbia. And is it possible that the government is using directed energy weapons and agitators and other types of freaks to go around set fires places? It's possible. I think the truth is probably less interesting and maybe even scarier. So, if the basic theory that you adhere to at this point is that the reason why we're having fires up and down, you know, various parts of the West Coast is because people are going around with gasoline and matches, I would argue that this is absurd. That there are lots of ways fires get started, to include lightning. I don't think they need any special help at this point. But I guess we're going to find out. What I can say is a lot of garbage information is being sent around the internet right now. In my humble opinion, it's more PSYOP nonsense. And so if you see or read an article about people who've seen their entire town vaporize because anarchists have Bic lighters, or you know, the FBI is using laser beams, my suggestion is be a little bit skeptical. Be a little critical, you know? No, it's just good advice. Be a little bit critical, be a little bit skeptical of these stories. Many of these stories could be false, is my point. Yeah. So anywho, I don't know where I go next. I've been thinking about a couple possibilities. None of it feels really that, I don't know, firm or real or, you know, possible. Some of it seems a little bit on the whimsical side. You know, It's kind of like coming back to Washington State. If you had told me 6 months ago that this is where I was coming, well, keep in mind, 6 months ago, I was still recovering from that injury. So that would have been February. If you'd said, well, you're going to end up in Washington State in 6 months, I would have said you're crazy. I would have said it's unlikely. And that basically it's not very, healthy as far as situations go coming back here. And all of that is true. Like, I can't explain it past this, that the negative energy, the dark energy of this place that I left behind in 2021, it's still here. It did not go under the surface. It didn't go into hibernation. Of course, that everybody's pumping up, oh, but Dan, the artificial intelligence is going to free us all in a couple months or years. I know there's some techno babble out there that's keeping people pumped up over stuff that probably is never going to happen. So there might be some extra hot air in the balloon that keeps people kind of stable in the state of Washington. Who knows? But what I can see just under the surface on most faces is just this anguish and angst and frustration. And I doubt that it's going to get magically better anytime soon. You know, it's kind of the situation we're in. If you were to say, well, Dan, couldn't we harvest Greebon and start to live like the cave people used to live? And couldn't we, like, stop, you know, being so harmful to the Squibbit folk? And all these things are true. We could be far less harmful to the various folk that, you know, we've been kind of mean to, but that's not going to help. We could be we could be nicer. We could be friendly. So we could be nicer to each other. We could be friendlier, you know. I don't think it's going to make a hill of beans a difference, but we could be. There are a lot of things we could try to do. But if you're an ordinary person like me, if you live on this planet as an ordinary human type person, I think we're talking about the forces of history. No matter what scenario we're discussing, if it's just total economic collapse, well, it's going to be brutal and cascading and non-deterministic. And once again, I'd say Antarctica looks like a pretty good place to hang out for 100 years if you happen to be in the top 5%. And so, yeah, Antarctica safe zone. If it's just total economic collapse, I think for a lot of these folks, that's where they're headed. And if it's worse than that, I'd say same. You know, to me, Antarctica screams the place on Earth, and it's not just about issues of weather. It's just, it has so many positive factors to include a whole bunch of fresh water, even though it's technically a desert. And you say, well, Dan, you know, well, then what is that? That means they got fresh water. According to Admiral Byrd, they have coal and uranium. At least that's what he said back in the late 40s, early 50s. And so they probably have everything they need to be there for, you know, like I said, assuming the worst case isn't too bad, 100 years, maybe longer. I mean, I frankly don't, I'm not very hopeful for people like that. I mean, in general, there's kind of an absolute consequence to living a certain way. So if you say, well, Dan, couldn't they become super powerful? No, I think in 100 or 200 years, if there's anyone left alive down there, it's going to be kind of like, you know, West Virginia in the 1940s and 50s, something like that. I don't think it's going to be super high technology. I think that they will devolve. And it'll be surprising if they keep themselves alive. That's what I think. I know, but Dan, won't they have magical educational modules. They might have all of that, and they're still representatives of some of the worst people that have ever been born. So just in genetic terms, let alone overall terms, I don't think that they're going to make it. But they do. And that's part of this too, folks. Everybody has a plan and is convinced it's going to work. More or less, almost everybody, except for, you know, your good friend Uncle Dan. If you were to say to me, well, Dan, what's your plan? I'd say, I don't have one. You know? I don't have a plan. I don't have a plan. I don't. I don't have a good plan. I have a lot of really bad ones. I have some crappy ones. That's what I have. I don't really have a good one. If you say to me, well, Dan, what are you going to do? And my answer would be, who knows? Who knows? You know, I'm not proud of it, but I kind of fell apart a bit. And it's not something anybody did to me. It's life. You know, life happens. I sort of expected to have more time to get my stuff together, and that never happened. And when it turned on me, I kind of started just becoming less competent as a person. That's one way of putting it. And I don't know. If you come back to me and say, well, Dan, tough luck, I agree. If you come back to me and say, well, Dan, suck it up, I agree. Suck it up. If you were to say, Dan, by email, you're a screwball, you're a crongo, everything that's happening to you is merely connected to the bad decisions you've made, well, gee, man, I mean, keep on singing, because you're not really getting any arguments here, pal. No arguments here, pal. You're just an old hobo, Dan. You've got scrongo. I know I got scrongo. I know, in the bongo. I've got the Deliniac. I've got the Freeball 17. I have Strinctus and Birumbuli. My inner curtsy has become incomparable. Pointless, 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 folks. If you want a secret, I got none. If you come back to me and say, Dan, it's because you're a shithead, I agree. If you come back to me and say, Dan, you're feeling sorry for yourself, I think probably that's kind of true. If you come back to Dan, you belong in a mental hospital, well, my friends, my brothers and sisters, it is August the 26th, 2023. If you don't feel like you're already in a mental hospital, then perhaps you're the sane one. You're the one that's sane. There'll be one on every block. They'll take care of the bedpans. they'll take care of the bedpans. They will indeed take care of the bedpans, and that's good news, ain't it? I mean, you guys listen to me, and you're really, from what I can tell so far, you're probably better people than I deserve. And, you know, everyone in their own way has been really generous with their time. And this week, a lot of folks were very generous with other resources. And it did, and it still has given me a chance. But if you were to say, would you like to spend time in your tent for another month or two? I mean, I could probably make this work. It's far from ideal, but I could probably make it work. The problem is, where is that place where they'll let you set up your tent and plug in and have phone access and maybe the internet so you could even make a little money on the side? There's no magical place like that, and it really has never existed. You know, I had this fantasy in my head that going to the national park would be functional. But when you really, really, really break it down, $30 a night for a situation that's already not so optimal, or $10 a night for basically just a chunk of ground that you can barely put a tent on, and you can't, and you know, that's your bike or hiker, right? That's not cheap. That's not somebody, you know, making it off the system. And I think about my own revenue from the podcast over the last year, and even that is not really functional. So that's it. You know, when I break things down, that's where I'm at. Today was an okay day because I didn't feel like pulling out what little hair I have. I didn't feel like heading to the bluff, so to speak. Or as I've said, heading to Canada. Today was okay. But at the same time, I did a few bad habits to make it okay. And then I find myself thinking, well, okay, where am I at in that game? Because, you know, a habit that is relatively inconsequential can be a bad habit if you're going through some shit. And so I've got to be careful, like we all do. Thank you. I will tell you what I will tell you, because this is what I say to my listeners, right? That I don't intend to give up. It's Saturday. I can probably spend another week here if I have to, and who knows? That could very well happen. And who knows? Like, as far as the next steps go, I could find out some news that, like the wind changing as you're sailing on the open sea, maybe I put up my Genoa, catch more of that wind if it comes along. But if you want me to say that I am super duper optimistic, no matter what happens in my personal life, I'm not really. I'm optimistic about people getting by. I'm optimistic about the basic idea of survival. But if you're asking me, do I see a magical artificial intelligence future where everything is just going to kind of work out? Not really. And I hope I'm wrong. Like in the year, let's say the year 2030, I'll be 60 years old. I'll be an old curmudgeon. My body will be scribble. My spine will look like a question mark. It's the year 2030, and you've met me at a conference. It's a conference for old curmudgeons. It's a conference for old podcasters. It's a conference for all those weird freaks who don't use the optimized Zeiger 7000 podcast extravaganza. And you meet me there. It's probably being held in Denver. Probably being held, like, I don't know, in October 2030, perhaps around Halloween, so we're all dressed up. And as you explain that you just had your fourth rejuvenation shot, and now your husband and you are doing it like you used to do when you're in your 20s, you're 70 years old. And you say, Dan, didn't you talk about that go blimp doc and all the stuff that would happen with the Strongo and Skompton and Grinkin'Town, and how you can't trust nobody in Grinkin'Town no more? Didn't you say that, Dan? Didn't you? And yeah, you'll come back and say that at the conference in Denver in October. Maybe it's October 27th and 28th, or right around there, 2030. And you say, yeah, I know, I remember. And I'll tell you what I'll tell people, in Reality Town. I'm glad I'm wrong. I'm glad I was wrong. The human race endured. We solved some problems. We learned some new skills. I'm glad I was wrong. I'm glad I was wrong. I was wrong about the protein cubes. I was wrong about the slurry. I was in a hurry. That's what I'll say. If it comes down to it, and we're at some type of weird conference in the year 2030, and you say to me, Dan, you were wrong about it. It never happened. I'll say I had some things right, because, the monkey herpes did happen. And I had some other things right, but you're right. Overall, Bo Blimp Talk, the great discontinuity, I called it wrong. I would love that to be the case. I would love to meet you at a conference in 2030 and have you tell me I was wrong. I'd love to give a keynote address of how I was an old man. I was wrong. And then I switched to making porno scripts. And then I made millions, millions in those movies everybody loved. Thank you. I would love it. Do I think that that's likely? For a lot of reasons, no. Including the simple reality that, you know, I'm a 53-year-old man. And I don't buy into life expectancies are going to keep going up. In fact, I think there's evidence they're already going backward. And I think we should expect more of that in a rapid fashion, perhaps. I don't think we're headed towards that. There's going to be a conference in Denver in 2030. Not unless it's a conference on the repurposing of human sklungo to make the best type of taco time they're still selling. You'll have taco time in 2030. You'll have it once a week. They'll sell stuff like protein taco or rehydrated strogo protein taco. They'll have pills and cubes you can have. The kids love those. You just swallow them really fast, drink some water, and pretend you're alive. Yeah, other than the Taco Time repurposing dead things for tacos conference, at an undisclosed location, secretive, kind of like Von C in 1942, Bob Limp Doc, you research it yourself, the Von C conference. No, I don't see any of that happening, really, any of it. I think it's almost wishful thinking to believe there'll be a Taco Time in 2030. It's why I refer to many of the problems we're facing right now that we're being fed as lesser catastrophes, because their purpose is for you to obsess on them. I don't care if it's COVID. I don't care if it's Putin. I don't care if it's drag queen story time. I don't care if it's race war nonsense. You pick the trauma drama. You pick the lesser catastrophe, economic or otherwise, and the purpose is for you to focus on it, for that to be your target. Oh yeah, well that's what's happening, Dan. There's anarchists with big lighters in British Columbia, but there's going to be a stagflationary soft landing. Invest in Bitcoin, Dan. That'll save you and the hookers. Just going to check the time here, because you never know, you never know. I'm almost out of time. Huh. Isn't that the truth, really? So I'll just reposition this thing so it doesn't, there we go, Dan. Just be it like that. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, feel free to donate if you want to. Before you donate, here's what I got to say. Number one, take care of your own food, water, shelter first. Before you give random people money that you meet on the internet, make sure your house and your food and the stuff you need to survive is there. It's taken care of. If it's not, spend money there first. If there are people in your life that need help, could be family, could be friends, could be a neighbor down the street, if there's something you can do to help a person in your local area, because it's smart to get to know your neighbors at this point. Spend money there first. If you've set aside food for your family, like let's say a couple months worth, make sure you're thinking about your pet. Your dog, your cat. I have a special place for my dog. I don't know if Boomer's ever going to hear this podcast, but hey, Boomer. Hey, Boomer. And remember, whatever's happening and is going to happen is probably not something that's going to be changed by worrying about it. And, you know, I'm doing all the worrying for you. So why not give yourself a break? Before you send some random person money on the internet, give yourself a break. Take a break. Take a chance. Take some time out. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, there's a lot good about it. Right now, we have a little bit of normal out there. None of us know how long that's going to last, so right now, take a break. But if you still have money left over after doing that, then you can give me your scrombo. You can give me your boblombo. I'll turn it into gold. I'll grow really old. I'll build an empire of Eskimo queens. We'll hunt the deagle fish. We'll swim the great sea. Have a great rest of your Saturday, baby. I'll see you out on the oceans.